This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
10 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI, WSMI FM 106, part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service.
Providing feed, fuel, and fiber for the world is a tough job. Suckup Manufacturing and McAdams Millwright Services in Greenfield are here to help you do it. Suckup Grain Handling, Drying, and Storage Products provide solutions that help you protect and preserve the world's grain supply. And Suckup Steel Buildings protect and preserve the tools you use to produce it. Visit McAdams Millwright Service in Greenfield or call 217-248-6879 for solutions today. Suckup Manufacturing Company, engineering solutions since 1963.
Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures from yesterday, Monday, off the Board of Trade had corn mixed, soybean mixed, and wheat lower on Monday. First off, at the close, July corn had fallen back by 3.5. New crop futures added weather premium to the end of the session, double digits higher. The old to new crop inverse is now only 76.5 cents a bushel. The weekly crop progress report from NASS showed corn emergence reached 90% by this past Sunday. The five-year average is 82% of the corn crop to be emerged by this point of the year. Crop conditions were lower on the week as expected, falling nationally by roughly 5 points. USDA's weekly export inspections report showed 1.413 million metric tons of corn was shipped through the week that ended last Thursday, the 3rd. That was down from 2.1 million metric tons 2 weeks ago, but was 16% higher year over year. China was the top destination with 38% of that total. Accumulated corn exports from the weekly data were up to 52.4 million metric tons, rather. That's equal to 2.063 billion bushels through the week ending last Thursday, June 3rd. Moving on, your domestic soybean complex was mixed Monday as bean meal futures were $6 to $9 lower. Soybeans were lower in the old crop contracts, but new crop futures ended the session by 4.5 to 13 cents higher. Soybean oil futures were also mixed on the day, closing 51 cents in the red for July and 20 to 73 cents higher in the back months. Soybean planting progressed 6 points over last week to 90% complete. NASS reported the five-year average pace is about 79% as of June 1st. NASS reported bean emergence 76% across the country compared to the 59% average, and the initial new crop soybean condition rating is at 67% good to excellent. Export inspection data from last week that ended on June 3rd, last Thursday, showed 237,108 metric tons of soybeans were shipped. That was up from 194,131 metric tons 2 weeks ago, but down 36,944 metric tons from last year. Mexico and Indonesia were the top destinations. Marketing year-to-date soybean shipments reached 56.67 million metric ton, equivalent to 2.083 billion bushel, according to weekly data. And finally, winter wheat futures gave back their early session gains Monday and closed in the red. Chicago wheat futures were down by 1.25 to 7.75. Kansas City wheat ended the first trading day of the week with 5.75 to 6.5 cent losses. Minneapolis wheat futures set life of contracts high early, but extended their losses early throughout the afternoon, having about a 3% loss on Monday. USDA's crop progress data noted the national winter wheat harvest is about 2% complete as of Sunday the 6th. The five-year average is 7% for this time of year. Harvest in Texas is about 20% finished compared to 40% this time of year. Kansas harvest has yet to reach a reportable level. Spring wheat emergence reached 90% on Sunday. NASS noted conditions worsened another 18 points week over week. The weekly export inspections report from the USDA showed only 418,547 metric tons of wheat were shipped during the week ending last Thursday the 3rd. Of that, 128,874 metric tons were for the marketing year, and the 2020-21 season concluded with 25.592 million metric tons, or 938 million bushels exported. So recapping your mix to mostly lower grain futures from yesterday, Monday, off the Board of Trade, July corn closed at 679 and a quarter, down by 3.5. September corn closed at 621, up by 14.5. December corn closed at 602.75, up by 11.25. July soybeans closed at 1560.25, down by 23.5. November beans closed at 1440, up by 4.5. And wheat in July Chicago closed at 680, down 7.75. July Kansas City wheat down by 6.5 at 630. And July Minneapolis was down by 27.75 in the wheat at 785. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain price were lower on Monday afternoon. The Illinois crop report had 93% of the corn emerged, with 74% in the good to excellent condition. Illinois soybeans are 93% planted, with 84% emerged and 73% in the good to excellent condition. In northern Western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 8 cents lower, 677 to 701. Soybean bids were down 24 to 28 cents at 1533 to 1559. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 9 cents lower, 669 to 705. Soybean bids were down 24 to 26 cents at 1547 to 1597. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 4 to 12 cents lower, 673 to 714. Soybean bids were down 24 to 34 cents at 1543 to 1588. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 24 to 35 cents at 1550 to 1615. Basis unchanged to down 11 at 10 under to 55 over the July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents lower, 679 to 719, with basis steady at option to 40 over the July. Illinois river barge floating elevators coated dip produced corn bids 7 to 8 cents lower, 703 to 708, with basis down 3 to 4 at 24 over to 29 over the July. Soybeans ended down 24 cents at 1561 to 1580, with basis steady at 1 over to 20 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 7 to 8 cents lower at 640 to 660, with basis steady to up 1 at 40 under to 20 under the July. East St. Louis barge floating tomato placer producer corn bids down 4 cents, 719 to 720. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 23 to 24 cents, quotations at 1584 to 1588. Soft wheat closed down 8 cents at 691 to 692, and Milo ended the day 4 cents lower at 733 to 734. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 568 to 593, soybeans at 1395 to 1420. And in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 571 to 592, soybeans at 1410 to 1428. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October, November delivery at 568 to 622, soybeans at $14 to 1457. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys reporting for the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on now to your livestock futures from yesterday, Monday. Cattle futures closed the Monday session lower for the 2021 contracts, and at the close of the session Monday, lean hogs were 40 cents to a dollar and a half higher. First off, February 22 contracts ended in a 42-cent gain, but the nearby contracts were 7 to 60 cents in the red in fat cattle. Cash sales were unestablished as of Monday. The business last week was mostly in the $119 to $120 range. Feeder cattle futures gained 27 cents on the August contract, but lost 7 to 30 cents in the other nearbys. The June 3rd feeder cattle index was 85 cents higher to 137.5. USDA had quoted wholesale box beef prices lower Monday afternoon, as choice boxes were 38 cents lower and select boxes were down by another $2.56. Monday's estimated cattle slaughter under federal inspection was 119,000 head. And finally, in your hogs, USDA's national average base hog price for Monday was a dollar and penny higher to 110.41. The CME lean hog index was 70 cents stronger on Thursday of last week to 114.75. Pork cutout futures ended the session with gains of 70 cents to $1.57. The fresh bacon index from the Mercantile Exchange was another $14.29 higher to the highest level seen since April at $238.78. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value is $1.44 higher in the afternoon report at $134.73, and the USDA had estimated federally inspected hog slaughter Monday at 483,000 head. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday Monday off the Mercantile Exchange, fat cattle for June were down 60 cents at 116.22. October fat cattle down 35 cents at 123.70. August feeder cattle up 27 cents at 150.20. September feeders closed 12 cents lower, 152.60. Finally, your hogs had June hogs up 40 cents at 119.90. August hogs up $1.32 at 118.90. June pork cutouts were up 70 cents to 133.35. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield on this Tuesday morning for yesterday Monday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 101 higher in a range of 99.74 to 125, with the weighted average carcass price of 110.41. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices were steady, with moderate to good demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at $38 to $42, 4 to 5 weight at $40 to $44, 5 to 6 weight at $43 to $47, and over 600 pounds at $45 to $50. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and gilts at the country buying points were steady, with moderate to good demand for moderate to heavy offerings, ranging from $71 to $76. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts totaled $28,969. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a dressed basis traded at $198. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 333 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $134.73, which was $1.44 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $338.60. which was 38 cents lower. Select carcasses at $309.17, which was $2.56 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 2,000 last week and 112,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 483,000 compared to 2,000 last week and 445,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Katie Lemonager with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for Part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service. It's 6:24 on this Tuesday morning. Radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. As a farmer, you have in-season needs, and M&M Service Company has products that perform. Offering seed solutions and expert agronomic recommendations, your M&M Service crop specialist can provide you with specific products tailored to your field that promise the highest profit potential come harvest. Take advantage of in-stock seed and exceptional delivery service to ensure you leave no ground uncovered this planting season. Contact your local crop specialist today or visit mmservice.com. Today, partly cloudy skies with a chance of showers. High temperatures in the mid-80s with southeast winds at 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy skies with a slight chance of showers. Low temperatures in the low 70s. And for tomorrow, Wednesday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers. Highs in the mid-80s. For Thursday through Saturday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers on Thursday and Saturday. Low temperatures in the low 70s. High temperatures in the upper 80s. Partly cloudy skies at the Weather Center. Right now we have a temperature of 66 degrees. This check of radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. at 6:25, and part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville.
Mowing season is upon us, and Seavers Equipment is ready to assist you in the search and purchase of the right turf management equipment. From commercial-grade mowing platforms and zero turns to traditional push mowers. From quality brands like Exmark, Kubota, Ferris, Hustler, and Cub Cadet. Seavers has them in stock and ready to go. With attractive incentives and financing options, contact your Seavers rep today or meet one at one of the seven Seavers locations. Details at SeaversEquipment.com.
And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now for Ag News here on a Tuesday. We've recently been covering the ransomware attack that caused JBS, the second largest meat processing facility in the United States, to shut down many of its plants. On June 2nd, which was last Wednesday, Brazil's JBS plants had dealt with the attack and were up and running again. While the disruption wasn't lengthy for them, Jonathan Hadlick, policy director for the Center of Rural Affairs, says any disruption can create issues across the supply chain.
That's going to affect the farmers in a significant way. And I think when you have basically processors and facilities offline, there is nowhere for those cattle to go, and there is a lot of supply. And there isn't as much demand because that demand would be the facility working, that demand would be the processing facilities. So if you decrease that demand and you keep that same amount of supply, that hits prices in a negative way.
JBS did move quickly to get operations open, but the question remains, how can disruptions be avoided in the future? Michael Schmidt, co-owner of Torrington Livestock in Torrington, Wyoming, says since the COVID pandemic and supply issues, the cyber attack is another wake-up call to break the beef processing monopoly.
We're way too susceptible to this. More packers would make it a better situation. It'd be harder to target the packer if we had more of them. But we've got to make that economically driven. As a consumer, we've got to, when you have a new person come on, you've got to support them.
Hadlick agrees and says, well, this time is only a temporary disruption.
This does underscore just how reliant we are on big processors like JBS. Again, that's 1/4 of all processing capacity in the United States is JBS. That was taken offline. And if that is 25% of your options, you're in a tough spot. And so I think this really underscores how important it is to find alternatives.
In a statement late Wednesday of last week, the Associated Press said the FBI attributed the attack on JBS to Reval, a Russian-speaking gang that has made some of the largest ransomware demands on record in recent months. In other livestock news here on this Tuesday, after 31 years of service with the National Pork Producers, including the last 20 years as the chief executive officer, Neil Dirks has announced his plans to retire by the end of this year. However, Dirks will remain in his role as chief executive until the search process for a new chief is completed and will serve as a strategic counselor during the transitional period. NPPC President Jens Sorensen says over the last 40 years, Neil has made countless lasting contributions to the U.S. pork industry and established NPPC as a leading national advocacy organization. Dirks started his career in the pork industry when he joined the Iowa Pork Producers Association in 1981 to manage the Iowa Pork Congress. The National Pork Producers Board of Directors has assembled a search committee made up of producer leaders and retained Corn Ferry to lead the search for a new chief executive. The National Pork Producers Council Board expects to complete the search by the end of this year. In other ag news, this time off Capitol Hill, U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai over the past weekend met with Asian Pacific trade ministers while also commenting on the U.S.-China trade relationship. Before the meeting, Tai said regarding the trade with China, it's a relationship and trade that has been marked by significant imbalance, that is in terms of performance, but also in terms of opportunity and openness of our markets to one another. The number of talks between the U.S. and China appears to be increasing, with no public signs of progress, according to Bloomberg. Tai met with members of the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation, largely focusing on trade issues during the COVID pandemic. Of note, the members state, quote, while the agricultural sector has been resilient and international markets have remained relatively stable during the pandemic, it remains one of the most protected sectors in global trade. The members say they all share a view towards achieving substantial progressive reductions in support and protection for agricultural products. In other ag news on this Monday, the CME Group reports the grain and oilseed option complex averaged 3.9 million contracts of open interest, the highest mark ever in the month of May. The complex also had an average daily volume of 351,000 contracts, the second highest mark in May. July corn ended May with a 41% implied volatility, the highest level going back to 2007. July added more than 90,000 contracts of open interest, reaching 363,000, with the $7 calls having been the most volume and open interest in change. On May 11th, soybean oil, soybean meal, lean hog, live cattle, Class 3 milk, and an ag broad-based index were added to the suite of CME Group volatility indexes. CME Group says the tool is specifically useful in the current grain and oilseed markets to understand the change in implied volatility over time and in relation to other agricultural products. The indexes are seen as a key indicator of forward risk expectations, noted as implied volatility. And in the latest grain news for your Tuesday, as temperatures warm into the lower 90s for the remainder of the next week, it's hard to fathom that a little over a week ago, farmers in the northern parts of Iowa woke up to frost damage. So what are farmers seeing in northern Iowa now? Champion Seeds agronomist Brandon Hume gives us an estimation of what he saw. While he saw many plants that will be okay, fields that had a lot of leftover residue on the ground saw more damage.
We're definitely seeing plants that are rebounding from that frost event. You know, just a few days after the frost came through, we were out looking at fields and kind of inspecting the damage. Overall, you know, things kind of came through fairly okay. There are spots here and there that took it worse than others. But really what we saw was that last year's residue really had the biggest impact on what fields were and were not impacted. So corn on corn acres with some heavy corn residue, or no-till soybeans into heavy corn residue is where we were tending to see that the frost damage was the worst, and in some instances needed some replants. But as a whole, you know, most plants kind of are showing the frost damage and the tissue damage. But all in all, we think they're going to pull through, and, you know, they'll get set back a little bit. But they'll survive and it'll still make it. So
the one blessing is that Hume says there is only a small percentage of replant needed. They are not seeing any whole field replants coming.
We haven't had any whole field tear it up and start over situations. A lot of it's just been your lower lying areas, you know, just kind of pockets within the field that maybe needed replant, the edges of the fields or around some waterways. Some farmers were going to go spike in some more seed along some of those rows.
And Hume says these 90-degree temperatures are just what the doctor ordered to get corn and soybeans back on track.
That's going to be the best-case scenario. That's kind of exactly what the doctor ordered, was plenty of heat, plenty of sunshine, kind of get that plant back and growing. And then a lot of that dead tissue will kind of be an afterthought once we get some new growth and some new healthy leaves on those plants.
That, again, was Brandon Hume, agronomist for Champion Seeds. Now we'll move on into State of Illinois Ag News, and we have for you your latest crop progress and condition report from the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service. For that report, we join state statistician Mark Sloysener.
Last week's weather was mixed across Illinois. Northern areas were dry and warm, but southern areas were cool and wet. The average rainfall across the state was just 1/3 of an inch, with southern areas receiving more than 1 inch, while the rest of the state was quite dry. Temperatures averaged nearly 69 degrees last week, and that was slightly above normal. There was an average of 5.6 days suitable for field work around the prairie state, and farmers used those days for planting, replanting, spraying, and cutting and baling hay. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 5% very short, 16 short, 71 adequate, and 8% surplus. Northern and eastern parts of Illinois are drier than the rest of the state. Soybean planting advanced by 4 points and reached 93% finished by Sunday. That compares to 86% 1 year ago and 77% for the 5-year average. Soybean emergence reached 84%, well ahead of the 5-year average of 61%. The condition of the Illinois soybean crop was rated 2% poor, 25 fair, 61 good, and 12% excellent. Corn emergence is now 93% complete, compared to 88% last year and 82% normally. 2% of corn acres are in poor condition, 24% are fair, and 74% of Illinois corn acres are in good to excellent condition. Moving on to winter wheat, 96% of acres are now headed, compared to 92% last year and 96% normally. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop is 3% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 76% good to excellent. And for the Illinois hay crops, the first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 87% finished, and other hay harvest is 66% complete. Pasture conditions were rated 2% poor, 23% fair, and 75% good to excellent. In other news, NASS will update winter wheat yield forecasts for all states in the June crop production report that will be released on June 10. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
In other state ag news for your Tuesday, 6 young and beginning farmers and farmer couples from central and southern Illinois were named Fresh Roots Director's Cup honorees last week by Farm Credit Illinois. The Director's Cup, presented by the Cooperative Board of Directors, celebrates young and beginning farmers committed to continuous learning and intentional living for a brighter future for their farm, family, business, and community. Honorees receive $5,000 and a commemorative keepsake. Cooperative members were selected by a panel of 7 industry representatives based on a combination of each applicant's unique farm beginnings, personal and business aspirations, and passion for building a brighter future for their farm, business, and community. The Director's Cup Award is part of the Fresh Roots Young and Beginning Farmers Program, which provides lending assistance and learning incentives to farmers up to the age of 40 or farmers within their first 10 years of farming. The following beginning farmers were selected as 2021 Farm Credit Illinois Director's Cup honorees, and they are Austin Ellison of Belleville in St. Clair County, Mitchell Hines of Kinney in Macon County, Lydia and Adam Holstey of Altamont in Effingham County, Jacob Strobeck of Alton in Madison County, Elliot Uphoff of Shelbyville in Shelby County, and Michael Yoder of Hammond in Moultrie County. Profiles of each of the Director's Cup honorees can be found online at farmcreditil.com/freshroots. Now moving on to local ag news for your Tuesday. Local farmers and landowners looking to enhance their knowledge on the in-season impacts of cover crop application should feel free to attend a discussion-based field event sponsored by the American Farmland Trust and Precision Conservation Management. This event will be held at 2 separate field locations in Macoupin County coming up this Thursday from 9 till 11 a.m. Guest presenters are Nick Sider and Jason Bowler, and they'll walk you through the field with those who attend to discuss the economic implications of pest control along with other best management practices that are geared to help farmers transition into the use of cover crops here in Illinois. A light breakfast, coffee, and other refreshments will be available for those who attend. And again, that is a 2 separate field event coming up this Thursday, June 10th, in Macoupin County from 9 till 11. And as we receive where those field events will be taking place, we'll share those with you as soon as we can. Here in Montgomery County, the USDA Service Center is now accepting appointments for in-person visits. All producers who have completed planting and wish to complete their acreage reporting, whether virtually or in person, should contact the office regardless in advance at 217-532-3361 extension 2. Because they are offering only limited appointment times, same-day acreage reporting service should not be expected. After you contact the FSA office to request your appointment to complete your acreage reporting, they'll work with you on a preferred form of appointment. If you schedule an in-person appointment, they would like you to bring your maps and plan to complete your acreage reporting from start to finish the same day, including signing your FSA 578 form.
If you request for a virtual appointment, they'll ask that you email or drop off your completed maps prior to your scheduled appointment, and at your time of appointment, you can expect to receive the FSA 578 for your review and signature by email or through OneSpan for an electronic signature. The Farm Service Agency Montgomery County looks forward to working with producers either in person or virtually over the next 6 weeks to complete acreage reporting. The deadline to file 2021 acreage reports is July 15th. And moving on now to our Ag Community Bulletin Board for this Thursday, the Dudley Smith Farm Outreach Meeting is coming up later on this month and will feature research updates on soil health and cover crops, along with using cover crops with annuals, progress towards soil phosphorus credits, and long-term effects of management practices on nitrogen loss. The virtual meeting will be held at 10 a.m. till noon next Wednesday, June 16th. The meeting is free and open to the public. Advance registration is due by this coming Friday, June 11th, by going online to go.illinois.edu/DSFmeeting. More info is available from the Christian County Extension Office on the upcoming Dudley Smith Farm meeting by calling them at 217-287-7246. And coming up in the month of July, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, along with the Country Financial Reps of Montgomery County, will be holding a benefit golf outing at Indian Springs Golf Course in rural Fillmore. That comes up Friday, July 30th. You can register by calling the Montgomery County Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro at 532-6171 or emailing Katie at kwilson@montcofb.com. Proceeds from the upcoming golf outing for the Montgomery County Farm Bureau go to benefit Montgomery County food pantries. And that'll wrap it up for this Tuesday morning's edition of the Ag Show. But remember, you can always send us your ag news by email at wsmi@wsmiradio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, June 8th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.